One of the things that has always fascinated me in life is divine revelation. Divine revelation is something that is very biblical, and the fact of Jesus revealing himself to his followers, to God revealing himself to his people in the Old Testament from the cover to cover in the Bible, we see divine revelation, and there's a reason for that. We talked last week about how we use reason and logic to understand biblical principles, and we were talking about using reason and logic concerning the resurrection of Jesus, and we found out that when we do and we understand the resurrection story in terms of examining a rock, a wrap, and a resurrection, also understanding that concerning the resurrection of Jesus coming out of the tomb, the rock was not rolled away so he could get out. The rock was rolled away so we could go in and see that he's not there, that he's alive, and that he desires a reunion with his flock. Okay? Coming out of the tomb. That's what he was doing from the moment he was first seen. He was reuniting with his flock and desires a relationship with his followers still to this day. As we read the story today, we find Jesus in the evening, getting close to evening, of that resurrection Sunday. There were two of his followers on the road to Emmaus going to the village about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And they were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself came up to be with them and he walked with them. I want you to notice that Jesus came alongside them and walked with them. Okay, it tells us that they were kept from recognizing him. Now, there's a reason for this in my own experience that I have found, that when Jesus comes to us and walks with us and talks to us, most of the time our human response is not that this is Jesus. Our human response is something else causing this, or maybe a coincidence, or maybe our conscience speaking to us, or this or that. They didn't really recognize that it was him at first. And there's a reason for that that I'm going to get to here in a moment. And he said, what are you discussing as you walk along? And they stood still. They stopped with their faces downcast. Understand this. They were followers of Jesus, and they were downcast. They were depressed. They looked at Jesus and said, are you just a visitor that you don't know what took place here in Jerusalem these past few days? And Jesus said, what things have happened? And they said, about Jesus of Nazareth. About Jesus of Nazareth. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed, before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped it would be different than that. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Now, if you know anything about the Jewish culture of that day and the Jewish scriptures, they taught that God was going to send a Messiah to redeem Israel, free his people from oppression, and set them up as God's kingdom. They hoped it was going to be that way, but it wasn't that way, was it? This Jesus, who was this great prophet in word and deed, came, he was handed over to be sentenced to death, and he was crucified. We didn't think it was going to be that way. We thought it was going to be a different way. And what's more, it's the third day. He's been dead 3 days and nothing's happened. He said he was going to rise on the third day, didn't he? But that hasn't happened, see. They were downcast. It wasn't the way they thought it was going to be. In addition, they said to Jesus, the women amazed us, they went to the tomb, and he's not even there. His body's been taken from the tomb. We don't know where he is. Some of our companions, the other disciples, went to the tomb and they found that's true. Jesus is not only dead, he's missing. We had hoped he was going to redeem Israel, but it's not that way. It isn't the way we thought. And you see, this is the problem in the church today of Jesus Christ. These men fell into the trap of thinking that it had to be a certain way, and when it wasn't a certain way, then Jesus was no longer that one who was going to redeem Israel. In other words, they were listening to the culture and listening to all the signs around them and everything everybody was saying, Jesus couldn't have been that Redeemer. He couldn't have been that Messiah because He was handed over to be crucified. He died and He's not even there anymore. That's not what we understood it was supposed to be like when the Redeemer came. And today in our culture, our church has lost that conviction and in many cases is presenting Jesus in a whole different light rather than being the powerful one who overcame death and still is, post-resurrection, still is the one to redeem us. But in their minds, we hoped He was going to be the one who was going to redeem Israel, but not only is He dead, He's missing. Not only is He dead, He's missing. Our culture today says Jesus is dead. He's a dead prophet. He's a dead prophet. He's not the one that was proclaimed by God that was going to come and redeem us, save us from our sins. He's dead. He said to them, and I want to say, folks, I want to say, when we start believing these kind of things and letting the culture sway our conviction to who Jesus really was and is today for us, we're fools. We're fools. Jesus said how foolish you are and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. All we have to do is go back into the Old Testament and study the Old Testament, learn what the prophets spoke about the coming Messiah and what God was going to provide and all the things that were said that Jesus was fulfilling as He lived down His life, and it's all there in black and white. But you see, today we start to look at this and say, this isn't relevant today to us. People say the Old Testament was written by a bunch of guys that sat around a campfire smoking wacky weed at night, and they had all these visions of grandeur and all these funky dreams, and they wrote it all down and they put together this whole story, and it's not really true. It's not. It foretold thousands of years earlier that Jesus would come, that He would free His people, redeem Israel, and save us from our sins. You see, Jesus said, didn't the Christ have to suffer and enter into His glory? And the root of the problem of the conviction of the Christian church in the 21st century is they don't believe this anymore. They read it and they say, well, now here's what we think it means. It's absurd to think of the Bible that way. When we read the Bible, we have to understand that it is the literal truth of God, inspired into the hearts and minds of the writers that wrote it. If it wasn't, it would not correlate like it does. It would contradict itself, which it doesn't. For thousands of years, people wrote. It was compiled together, and they said the same thing, that Jesus Christ was the Messiah that came to save us from our sins. So what does Jesus do? And here's the proof of this. What does Jesus do? He begins with Moses and the prophets and explains to them what's said in all the scriptures concerning Jesus. He turns to the scriptures. You understand that if we're going to have this close walk with Jesus and relationship with Jesus, we've got to be in the scriptures, folks. We have got to be in the scriptures. Because if we really want to know our friend and understand him, hear him, see him, then we've got to get in the scriptures, because that's where we really learn about the character of Jesus. We see the sufferings of others and how He came to them, and we know we can turn to Him for the same things. So He turned to the scriptures and He revealed to them what was said about Himself. And they went along and they approached the village. They asked Him to stay. He stayed. They ate, He broke bread, and their eyes were opened, and they recognized Him, and He disappeared. Then they asked each other, were not our hearts burning within us while He talked to us on the road and opened the scriptures? You see, when Jesus opens the scriptures to us, there's a burning sensation inside. There's a conviction inside us that we just cannot overcome. It literally takes control of our lives to the extent that nothing matters but Jesus in our lives. And it drives us to be the true church that Jesus desires for us to be. That drive has been lost because in many cases, the Bible is no longer relevant. And that fire has been doused by the culture. They said our hearts were burning within us while he talked to us and opened the scriptures to us. They went back to Jerusalem. They met the other disciples. And they all agreed it was true. Jesus had risen. Jesus came to be with them. He said, "Peace be with you." And he said to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that's written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms." Understand, folks, everything that was written about Jesus has to be fulfilled. And he, again, opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. People say to me all the time, "Well, I read the Bible, but I don't really understand it." Well, there's a certain wisdom to turning to the Lord. Open our ears, Lord. Open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. He opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. And he says, "This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." Notice what Jesus says. These things have to be fulfilled. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name because of that burning conviction inside the believers that Jesus is truly alive and he's my king. He's the thing that the person that motivates me and drives me, because I have that burning inside me to go and tell others about this resurrected Jesus and how he can change their lives. That's missing in much of the church of the 21st century. That's why the Church of Jesus Christ in the United States is not growing. When you go to other areas of the world where the church is exploding, it's because they have a burning conviction inside them to stand firm in their faith to the point of death. These people stood firm in their faith and gave up their lives because they were not going to turn back and give in and deny their Lord, Jesus Christ. And forgiveness and sins will be preached in Jesus' name to all the nations. Why? So that others might come to this Jesus and understand who he is. This isn't preaching social goodness. It's not preaching that we're all good and let's go have a cup of tea together and it'll all be okay in the end because we're all going to heaven. It's not standing here and telling people that, well, you have to take this and apply it to your life as it applies to your life. But it's going to be different for the person next to you, you see. No. We turn to this, we read what the prophet said about Jesus. We read what happened to Jesus, and we go out and we tell people to repent. Turn from believing all that garbage out there and turn to Jesus, because Jesus is the only one that has the power over death and the grave. And if we want to have eternal life and live in the kingdom of God, we have to turn to Jesus and nowhere else. See? It's black and white from page to page. I want you to notice something here. When you read in the scriptures about the divine revelations, the resurrection appearances, there are 11 post-resurrection appearances of Jesus written about in several places in the Bible. 11 of them. Jesus reveals himself to believers only. You do not find in the New Testament where Jesus reveals himself to unbelievers. Other than Paul, the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, whom I believe in my heart, as he watched Stephen being stoned for his faith, stood there watching the cloaks of those who were stoning Stephen. I believe in my heart that Saul or Paul, like Joseph of Arimathea and the man that came to Jesus at night, Nicodemus, I believe Saul in his heart really did believe who Jesus was. He just didn't want to openly expose his faith in Jesus. And finally then, Jesus revealed himself to Saul. Saul was angry at the Christians, as many people do. We get angry at God and angry at the Christians because they're talking about this Jesus. And as the Holy Spirit comes to us and says, I want you, God wants you to receive Jesus, we get mad because we think, no, I'm not going to do this because I'm going to have to give up my life and all that I know, my family, my home, my life for God, and I'm not going to do that. And we get angry, don't we? People get angry at us when we start talking about Jesus. Saul or Paul was angry and went off to persecute the Christians. And what happened? Jesus literally blew him away in a divine revelation along that way. And Saul fell to the ground and he was blinded. And Jesus spoke to him. He said, here's what I want you to do. I want you to go to this certain place. You're going to find a certain man. In the meantime, God spoke to that man and said, there's a man by the name of Saul. Tarsus is coming. Everything fit together. And it can only happen by divine revelation, you see. By divine revelation. Jesus revealing himself to believers. Some people say, why doesn't he reveal himself to me? I don't understand why I haven't had a divine revelation. Why haven't you? Do you truly love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Would you give up your home, your cars, your job to go where He leads you? To do what He asks you? Jesus said to His disciples in the night before He was crucified in John 14, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he's the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him, and I will show myself to him, to he who loves me. You see, to he who obeys me, I'll show myself to him. If anyone loves me, he'll obey my teaching. My Father will love him and will come to him and make our home with him. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I don't give as the world gives. Later on he said to his disciples, I tell you the truth, it's for your good and I'm going away because the Counselor will not come unless I do. If I go, I'll send him to you, and when he comes, he'll convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. You see, the Holy Spirit's busy convicting people, convicting the world, the unbelievers, telling the unbelievers, turn to Jesus. And when we turn to Jesus, we find somebody there speaking to us, walking with us, talking with us along life's narrow way. There were 11 different resurrection appearances, one of them to 500 of the brethren, the believers, that Paul writes about in 1 Corinthians 15. Now we ask, why does Jesus reveal himself to believers? And what does he ask them to do? Well, that's the answer to the question. He reveals himself to believers so that they know what he wants them to do. I found this personally to be true in my own life when I was called into pastoral ministry. Jesus revealed himself to me in a special way. I've heard him speak audibly, actually, and it's one of the most dearest things that I hold dear in my heart. But I did not have those revelations, those divine revelations, until I was on my knees at the altar in my church, telling God I would give up my life to lead me and guide me where He wanted me to go. When I gave it up in faith and surrendered my life to Him, the floodgates opened. The revelations came. I gave up our business, a new home, all of our friends, our family. Now, I'm not saying that for my own benefit. I'm saying that for God's glory, because where we went and where we have been and where we are is far above and beyond anything we've had in the past. It's unbelievable where the Lord will take you and what He will do and how He will reveal Himself to us when we surrender our lives to Him in love, because He is the love of our lives, our King, that we love Him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength. In Matthew 28, Jesus said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me." All authority in heaven and earth. "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." Jesus reveals Himself to the believers to bring that burning desire in our hearts to go out and tell others about this Jesus that we've come to know and love, this Jesus that is so awesome that we simply cannot live without. You see, He said to the disciples, "You're my witnesses. You're my witnesses." It was absolutely a no-brainer for me because I knew it. I had this burning sensation in my heart. And it wasn't heartburn from pizza or onions. It was the Lord Jesus Christ, to the point where nothing mattered in my life. I remember someone saying to me, "Don't become a preacher unless you can't do anything else in life. Then when you fail at everything else in life, you become a preacher." And I heard Alistair Begg on the radio one day talking about this call into pastoral ministry. And he was saying that you don't become a pastor or a minister unless you can't do anything else in life. And it caught my attention and I listened. And what Alistair was saying was, when you get to that point that you don't want to do anything else in your life but tell others about Jesus. And it got to that point. It got to that point where day in and day out, night and day, minute by minute, hour by hour, I completely lost my desire for my job, for what I was doing. It was a remarkable revelation of Jesus Christ walking with me and talking with me along the way that led me to the pulpit of the church that I grew up in, standing there with my knees knocking together, scared to death, looking out over a congregation that knew me when I was a young boy and a hellion in my community, preaching from Ephesians, I believe it was, about who really is the King of Kings in our lives. And I sat there before the sermon, scared to death, and my only prayer was, "Be with me. Be with me, Lord. Be with me." And from behind me, to the point I turned around to look to see who it was, I heard someone say, "I am with you. I am with you." Isn't that what He said to the disciples? "Do everything that I've commanded you, and surely I am with you to the end of the age." You see, these disciples that were walking along the road had sort of given up on this Jesus thing. They'd sort of given up on what was said about Jesus in the past, what Jesus said about Himself, and now they were in Jerusalem and they saw these terrible things happen to their Lord. They gave up on Him, didn't they? They were downcast. Jesus says, "You're foolish. You are fools and you're slow of heart to believe. Slow of heart to believe." I want to just quickly elaborate on John writing in 1 John. "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at with our hands we've touched, we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, we've seen it, we've testified to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we've seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us, and our fellowship's with the Father and with His Son. And we write this to make our joy complete." They were so filled with joy, you see, that they just couldn't hold back from telling others about this Jesus who they saw, they touched, and they heard. When people say to me, "Well, I don't understand. I don't understand. Why doesn't this stuff happen to me? Why can't I hear Jesus? Why can't I see Jesus? Why is there a loss of divine revelation among believers today?" It's because our ears are full of garbage coming out of the press coming out of our culture, coming across our radios and our televisions, and we're allowing it to permeate into the depths of our brains and our souls. It's because our eyes are closed because we're not looking for Him. Have you ever noticed when you buy a new car, you don't realize how many of those cars are all around till you buy it, and then you're driving it around your neighborhood and you realize everybody has one? It's because you weren't looking for them before. They were there all along. The only reason the Church of Jesus Christ has lost the divine revelation is because our ears and our eyes and our minds are full of the culture of the day. And the evidence of it is in our calendars, in our checkbooks, in the way we live our lives. You understand what I'm saying? You can tell a person's faith and their faith journey by their calendars and their checkbooks and the way they live their lives. We've literally blocked Jesus out of the picture. We've given up on Him. And as the Scripture says, we are kept from recognizing Him. He's there. All we have to do is look. All we have to do is talk. All we have to do is listen. He's there. He's there. I'm out of time. I have to quickly close here. He says to them, "This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that's written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. This is what is written: that Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in His name to all the nations, because you are witnesses of these things." When we lose that burning desire to go and tell others about Jesus and tell others what we have witnessed and our own experience about Jesus, we literally are putting up a blockade in the path of Jesus Christ and the purpose for which He came. We are literally holding the Scriptures from being fulfilled by lack of faith, lack of commitment, and lack of trust to stand committed to what we believe, to the point that literally controls our lives, because Jesus is who He said He is. He still is. He always will be. And the question is, do we love Him with our heart, soul, mind, and strength? Because when we do, we'll start to see Him, we'll start to hear Him, we'll start to know that we know that we know that we know that we know, and our lives will be completely transformed because of divine revelation of Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord our God, sometimes it's hard to understand Your Word. Jesus can reveal the truth in it to us. Today, as we listen to Your voice, I pray that You change us through this, that we might have the divine revelations that we need in our lives every day to carry us along, that You might reveal the Scriptures to us, that we might just simply take a moment to open them every day. Because when we do, we'll find that those moments will turn into minutes, into hours, into days that we'll be spending in Your Word that we know is the Bible. We'll grow closer to You, closer to Jesus, and we'll begin to hear Him and see Him as He really is. And we'll have that burning desire inside us to go into the whole world to tell others about the glory and power of our resurrected King, Lord Jesus. Thank You. In Christ's name. Amen. Thank you.